The Demon Seed.
Well, cut. You must be mistaken.
It's now. It's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
Michael, welcome. Once again, we enter the world of the occult, the unknown, the paranormal. For this is the Demon Seed.
Yeah, I'm just pleased we finally got going. I've been online now for 39 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yeah.
And we just started because we had trouble with Zencaster and Zoom, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, clearly.
And then you didn't know how to record a file on your computer.
No idea. But I think what we must take into account is that there are dark forces that don't want us to. I'm going to burp. Should we try again?
No, I'll just start from there.
Okay.
There's no point. We just smashed the fourth wall.
Yeah, totally. I mean, who really cares anyway? It's not like any of this is actually going to change anyone's life.
We were just ruminating in one of the breaks when Reese's connection didn't work. Mm. About the astral plane.
Yes.
Yeah. We were saying that, you know, he was in the astral departure lounge. Mm. And they were probably checking his shoes
astral for explosives
yeah. Before they let him on the astral plane.
And, of course, it looks like there's been an astral delay.
Astral film.
Yeah, that's it. It's not. It's
maybe
not
some happening. Astral snacks, and depending on the length of the journey, an astral meal. And depending on the carrier, astral free drinks. I always have if I fly Air Canada, I have a couple of beers and a Bloody Mary normally.
How often do you fly Air Canada?
I used to fly it twice a year, two, three times a year, but now I just fly it once every sort of, the last time I flew Air Canada would have been 9 years ago.
Yeah, so that's quite regular then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The world.
It was my friend Nick's 40th birthday, so I flew over to Calgary.
I wouldn't have bothered.
No, I know you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't have bothered with that.
To be fair, his girlfriend paid for the flight, otherwise I wouldn't have bothered either.
Oh, right, there you go. Then I'd jump at that. Did they give you free accommodation?
Yeah, so I stayed at his place. His missus paid for the flight.
Yeah.
And then Air Canada paid for the drinks and the snacks on the way over.
Brilliant. Did she try getting off with you when she was drunk?
My best friend's girlfriend who paid for my flight.
Yeah, and free accommodation.
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that could have been the reason she was, getting you over there.
I think she was attracted to me.
Yeah.
But we never acted on that.
Did Nick try anything on you?
I've had Nick many, many times.
Yeah. So, and that's not an issue between... Yeah,
No, he's fine. I mean, that's part of the deal. If you love me, love Nick, that's the deal.
Yeah, that's fair enough, isn't it?
And vice versa.
So a real reason for you to get that flight and get over there, which is what it's all about.
I did actually end up washing his car in as a birthday treat in a G-string and tube socks. I washed his car.
Lovely. Yeah. Do you press your body like against the windows and stuff?
Yeah. And it was proper like 2 o'clock in the afternoon as well.
And was he sat inside the car? Like watching.
He was in the living room.
I was going
to
say.
He was too embarrassed to be outside.
Because if he wanted to do it properly, he should have sat in the car with his top off.
Yeah, with me sticking my tits in the windscreen.
All squashing against there and you know.
All lush and squeegee.
And then he could have wound down the window and you could have, you know, put your cheese through. And
Stick my ball sack in the window.
Yeah, like, and then he would have put the window up. He would have squeezed it real tight, you know. Anyway, the paranormal, Mike, where do you stand on the paranormal?
You know I stand on the paranormal.
Yeah, you're let's say, on the fence, aren't you? You're not too sure.
I'm on the fence if the fence was a fence that could be sat on by people who didn't believe in the paranormal.
Yeah, but what would you say if the paranormal happened in your own backyard, right next door to you, in your face? What would you say to that?
Well, I don't know, it's never happened. Well, I don't think it ever will happen, is the point.
What would I told you? It has happened in Cates, in Cardiff, Mike. What would you say to that?
Well, if you listen to this podcast from further afield... Mm-hmm. That is not far from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's an area of Cardiff, which is the capital city of Wales,
right.
Which is it's an independent country within the United Kingdom.
Yeah,
not part of England, much to the surprise of the average North American.
Yeah,
I don't know what would happen. What happened in Cates?
Well, let me
interesting. I just interject for a second, John. I live in Canton, Cardiff.
Mm.
And Cates and Canton, two areas of Cardiff, both named after China.
And both?
There was an awful lot of trade with China back in the day.
Both start with the letter C. That's...
Canton and Cates.
Yeah, that's...
As in Cathay Pacific.
Yeah.
And as in Cantonese meals.
Yeah. A lot of Chinese restaurants in your area? Or
there's a few.
Yeah. So there you go. There's something going on there with the world of Chinese spirit, which I'm not so familiar with, but I can go deep into this. Mike, we know that you live in Cardiff. We know that you live very near to Cathays. Could I also ask another question before we go any further? Mike, have you ever heard of a thing called a lawnmower?
I don't have one because I haven't got a lawn.
Yeah.
But I've used one in the past, certainly.
And you would confirm that you have heard of a lawnmower?
I've heard of both. Ride-on mowers, fly-mow mowers, the old rotary cutters, and everything.
Even garden shears.
The rain, anything used to cut grass, I'm au fait with it.
Okay, that's great, because I'm about to delve into an article from the Spooky Isles written by a man called Rick Hale. And this is a case that I've been interested in for over probably about 15 years now. And I really thought it's important to bring it to light, because not only does it demonstrate the power of the poltergeist, but it shows that this is happening in your backyard, Mike, next door to you, right in front of your face. You will not be able to deny this case once I've stated the facts. Are you ready for this, Michael?
How can it be in my backyard and next door to me at the same time?
Because
Go on.
Let me clear that up. You know, the paranormal isn't just...
And right in front of my face.
Yeah. The paranormal, as I've said before, the paranormal is generally embodied in this world by a type of gas. And as we know, gas is everywhere. And it's not just a solid, you know, like a man, for example, would be in front of you, wouldn't he? You know, he would be physically in front, or a postbox. A postbox would be directly in front of you, or a car would be in front of you. But the paranormal is a type of gas, and it's around you, it binds you, it's there, it's inside of you, it goes in you, in your nose, in your bottom, everywhere. You cannot deny the paranormal, even if you can't see it, even if you do deny it, it's there. That's why I'm saying this case is in your backyard. It's right there in front of your face. It's in front of your window. It's everywhere, Mike. It's around you.
It's omnipresent. Mm.
It's like a sheen of sweat on a hot summer's day in between your bottom cheeks, making them feel slightly greasy. Are you ready for this, Mike?
I use talc.
Even on the hottest day, talc will not work. I had a friend who worked in a newspaper printing press and he used corn flour. He still had problems. That's what I'm saying, no matter what type...
Well, the major problem he's got, mate, is using corn flour on his ass.
Yeah, well, apparently all the top chefs use corn flour.
For one.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
They do. You ask any chef.
Yeah, to fucking thicken a sauce, not to fucking put down their ass crack.
I think you'll find most top chefs can't get their hands on talc in a kitchen. So what's the second best alternative? That's right, corn flour. Moving on, let's go deep into this story of the paranormal. Reported by Rick Hale for the Spooky Isles, as I mentioned earlier. Let me begin.
What is the Spooky Isles?
The Spooky Isles is one of Britain's leading paranormal websites that will give you the ins and outs of what's going on in England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, all of the key parts of the United Kingdom and further.
Northern Ireland?
Yeah, and Northern Ireland as well. Here we go.
It's the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Of Great Britain and Northern Ireland.
Yeah. But I think the Spooky Isles does it all. Thing. Yeah.
If it is the British Isles, that would also include the Irish Republic.
What about the Isles of Scilly? Is that a separate?
I know they're off the coast of Cornwall, but I don't know.
The Isle of Man.
Under what jurisdiction they can. Well, the Isle of Man is a crown protectorate. It's not actually part of any one of the countries. Yeah.
Is Skomer, is that an island? Skomer?
Skomer is an island, part of Wales.
So that's already in then, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's already in. So we've covered...
Isle of Wight is part of the UK.
Yeah. Can't think of any others.
Jersey, Guernsey, Sark.
Yeah.
And the Isle of Man are all protectorates. They're not actually part of the UK.
Denmark wouldn't...
Denmark's a different country. Denmark is a different country.
Totally separate. Okay, here we go. As for the paranormal... The United Kingdom is world famous for its ghosts and haunted locations, as we both know, even if you deny it. That's true.
We've been to the locations, we just haven't seen the ghosts.
Exactly.
And not now, when we did a different,
completely different thing to this.
Where we would look at, like, paranormal things.
Yeah, but in a different way.
Yeah, me and you.
Yeah, and it was very different to this.
And Reese the producer.
Yeah, but again, it was very different. It wasn't anything like this, was it? Yeah.
No.
Anyway.
For legal reasons, nothing like
nothing,
that.
Nothing at all. The UK is famous for poltergeist. We all know that the poltergeist is a German word meaning noisy ghost. And three cases of this bothersome phenomena come to mind. First, of course, is the Enfield case. A recently divorced single mother and her children were under siege by a force they could never comprehend. We've all heard of that. We've seen the films. We've read the case studies. We've even tried to get there, but they wouldn't let us in because of legal reasons. There's also the ominous-sounding Yorkshire case known as the 30 East Drive Black Monk of Pontefract. Again, a lesser-known case amongst the both of us, but nonetheless a case that is incredibly well-known throughout the UK and the world. These two may be the most well-known cases.
That's not actually true, is it? I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't exist in Pontefract.
Yeah.
But that is a very small part of the UK.
Yeah. Very popular case. So, I mean, you Google that and you'll find search results within fractions of a second. Fractions.
Yeah.
Anyway, these two may be the most well-known cases in the annals of physical... Sorry, it's physical. That's because the physical research is psychical. Right. These two may be the most well-known cases in the annals of psychical research. Nevertheless, there is a third. Scared, Mike?
Come on.
You will be. A playful poltergeist in Cardiff, Wales, known simply as Pete the Poltergeist.
Oh, shut up.
True fact. As with most stories of poltergeist phenomena, the activity in a lawnmower repair shop began innocently enough with stones being thrown by an invisible hand. Mike, have you ever seen an invisible hand?
No. I can confirm I have not seen an invisible hand.
Yeah. John and Fred Matthews, the owner of the shop, were repairing a car.
Mate, no one's called John and Fred these days.
And I think if you go to Cattays in the Cardiff area of the UK, you will find John and Fred Matthews running a very successful lawnmower repair shop. So I think...
And who gets them repaired these days? People just buy a new one. We live in a throwaway society.
Yeah, well, these people...
You don't get TVs repaired and fridges repaired and lawnmowers repaired.
I think you'll find John and Fred Matthews do a rather good service and they will sort you out. And if you've got that sort of attitude, that's where the world's going to end up in flames, mate. What's that little girl from, like, Denmark or whatever who goes around telling people not to use petrol? Do you think she'd listen to that? She'd be getting that...
Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, she'd be getting that washing machine fixed.
Well, she should be up on... Her parents, mate. Why is she missing all that school for?
I don't know. Well, she wants to save the world. You know, fair dues. Rather than smashing up a washing machine or stamping on a lawnmower, she's actually going to see people like John and Fred Matthews and she's getting something done, which is important. And I think that's what we need to take into account here.
How dare you? How dare you? Yeah.
Exactly.
That was my impression of Greta Thunberg.
It's quite good, actually. It's quite good.
Thank you.
John and Fred Matthews, the owner of the shop, were repairing a car when a peculiar noise caught their attention. They heard what sounded like rocks striking the roof and rolling down the side. A considerable racket on a sheet metal roof. Have you ever heard a considerable racket on a sheet metal roof before, Mike?
Yeah, surprisingly. Well, we've got a loft conversion. It's very... I'm amazed. First time I heard a seagull on the roof, I thought it was a bloke on the roof.
Yeah.
It's just the sound. It sounds very loud when you're inside.
Exactly. Well, John and Fred had heard this noise before, usually from the rowdy youth tossing stones at the building. Believing kids were to blame, Fred walked outside to investigate and run the kids off. Fred was stunned.
Run the kids over.
Run the kids off. The car wasn't working. If it had been working, Fred would have clearly gone over both their legs and left them there.
And why not? Yeah. Why not? It's his property.
I mean, there's a fat child that lives near me, and if I had the chance, I'd run over his legs and I'd leave him there screaming.
For throwing stones or just being fat?
He's just fat and annoying.
There we go. Two reasons.
Yeah. Fred was stunned when he got outside and found nothing. No kids, no flying stones. Just a quiet street with no one around. No one visible at any rate. Fred went back inside and explained to his brother that no one was around. The two men went back to working, suspecting nothing.
John.
Yeah. Sorry, did you say something?
No, John. His mate, John.
Yeah.
His brother.
Yeah. Fred.
Not you.
No, it's just, yeah, not me, because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Fred went back inside, explained to his brother that no one was around. The two men went back to work, suspecting nothing out of the ordinary. This seemingly innocent activity began months of intense, although not frightening, supernatural antics. Subheading, high-spirited hijinks. Mike, I just want to ask you a quick question. Have you ever taken part in high-spirited hijinks?
Yes.
What happened? Wanked off by a ghost?
No.
Okay.
Got wanked off, but it wasn't by a ghost.
Okay.
I'd rather not, you know, I'd rather keep the identity of the person who wanked me off.
Okay.
For their own good. I'll keep that to myself.
It's a private thing, isn't it, that we don't need to talk about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
We've all done it.
It's commonly reported by victims of poltergeist activity among the horror and aggression involved. The antics of the poltergeist almost seem like an unruly child throwing a temper tantrum. The Cardiff poltergeist was no different in that respect. Days went by and the activity of the poltergeist became more pronounced. The poltergeist appeared to take pleasure in the consternation it caused. Among the typical activity related to a poltergeist, the owners of the shop reported radical changes in temperature. One moment it would be a normal temperature and the next a bone-chilling cold would blow through the building. Very quickly before I go any further, Mike, have you ever experienced a bone-chilling cold?
I mean, I've had my bone chilled.
Yeah.
And I've been cold.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, actually, I was in Montreal about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was nearly minus 40. That was bone-chillingly cold.
That's cold. On top of this, there was a smell, an overpowering stench that would hang thick in the air, then dissipate. Perhaps the oddest activity.
I mean, you know all about that.
I mean, I like to do a thing called the Hadouken, which I don't know if you're familiar with computer games, but Hadouken.
No, really.
Hadouken was. I'm not particularly au fait with it, but Hadouken is a character from one of these sort of Street Fighter sort of games. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Right.
You know, where you tap the buttons loads and they just sort of.
Like Tekken.
Yeah, that kind of thing. One of. that's it. Yeah. Fatality.
Yeah, sort of
stuff, fatality.
Yeah.
Execute him.
Yeah.
Execute.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hadouken had a sort of signature move where he would sort of push his hand forward and fire this sort of energy bolt, if my mind serves me correctly, into his enemy's face and destroy them. I like to do that with my own gas. I'll guff into my hand and then Hadouken you by pushing my hand into your face.
Yeah.
Not poltergeist activity, just rough bowels.
I'd give you a right roundhouse to the head if you did that to me.
Well, maybe I've done it to you in your sleep and you'll never know.
Fatality, execute him. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, OB, this is it. Before I go any further, Mike, computer-generated sprites, you've got your top off and you're bright green, and I'm blue and I've got a ponytail and really long arms, and in the background is like a 2D animated sort of mystical-looking Chinese city that moves from left to right, and we as 2D characters just bounce forward between each other. Execute him. Defeat him. Hadouken. Hadouken. And then I've got one signature move where if you press square, circle, and triangle and down, I put my hand by my bum. And then I come forward and put it over your face. And then you collapse and it goes, execute him. That's a thing.
If you do that to me, I'd press the X and the Y at the same time.
Yeah.
Which meant that I punch you right in the middle of your face.
Yeah.
I broke your nose.
Special move.
And I depressed your eye socket and you had to go to hospital. And they thought you'd lose the sight in one eye.
Hospital bonus round. Heal him. And then when they put me in the bed, loads of coins would come flying out of me up to the screen and go into your corner
of
the screen. Ching, 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 ching. Heal him. Hospital round. That would be quite good.
Yeah.
Back to the story. Perhaps the oddest activity attributed to the poltergeist was it like to steal money and have it turn up in strange places, very much like you would after you'd hospitalised me.
Yeah.
Fred and John Matthews insisted that at no time they were afraid of the strange activity in the shop. Their only concern...
So hang on a minute now, mate. So Fred and John Matthews got a... They've got a shop.
Lawnmower repair shop, Incatelli's, which is
so
in your backyard.
You assume it's in a fairly industrial type area, probably near the train tracks in Incatelli's.
It's Incatelli's.
Right? Where a lot of the sort of...
Cruise Road.
A lot of the,
it's Cruise Road.
Right. Okay. Right. So this poltergeist... Now, bear in mind that they work in like a corrugated warehouse type structure.
Yeah.
Appears to make a noise like people run on the roof, throw stones at the building...
Yeah.
And then nick their money.
Yeah.
I mean, these poltergeists are called kids, John, or possibly drug addicts.
Or are they called the ghosts of dead kids, Mike? Think about that. Think about that. Their only concern was that a poltergeist, their name Pete, would turn its attention to the customers, and it did. Fearing they would lose business due to the ghostly goings-on, they decided to take matters into their own hands and put Pete to the test. Do you know how they did that, Mike?
No.
A seance. A seance. They had a seance. They crossed over to the other side using a seance. Have you ever had a seance, Mike?
Ever done one with you?
Yeah. What happened?
Nothing, remember?
Okay. One afternoon, Fred and John decided to try and make contact with whatever was in there.
We were trying to contact the ghost of a dead dog, if I remember correctly.
We spoke to my dead cat. We did speak to my dead cat.
Oh, that was right, yeah.
Because we spoke to an
animal. Oh, that was hilarious, that one. The bloke said he could see like a triangular roof.
It was a woman. It was a woman.
Like it's like a triangular roof. Yeah. God, you've really narrowed it down there. That is pretty impressive.
I was a ghost of my dead cat.
Yeah. Well, I was asking the question that why can't, you know, do all the animals on the astral plane speak to each other? And, you know, what language they speak? They speak mouse, cat.
Yes.
You know, and she's always taking the piss, which I wasn't. I was just curious to know.
Yeah. What does she say?
I can't remember.
No, I can't remember either.
Can't remember. Oh, then I showed a picture of my dog. Remember this? Yeah. Because she wanted me to show a picture of my dog.
Yes. Now, you were struck by...
Because I had a dog when I was a kid. Well, I couldn't find a picture of my dog. So I found a picture of a dog that looked like my dog.
Yeah.
And then I put it through a photo app to make it look like an older photo.
Yeah.
And we showed her that. But then we had to come clean and say, listen, that's not actually my dog.
I mean, I just...
But it's a photo of a dog that looks a bit like my dog. And she was quite angry. She said, well, how can I speak to it if... This is not actual your dog.
Yeah, don't dabble with the dark arts, Mike. Don't dabble with the dark arts. No. Don't do that shit.
No, she wasn't very pleased.
One afternoon, Fred and John decided to make contact with whatever was in their shop by holding a seance. They meticulously went about locking all the doors and windows of the shop and sat around a large round table with their family holding hands. They asked Pete if he could make his presence known to all in attendance. And Pete did not disappoint. According to those present, Pete, the Cardiff poltergeist, broke the silence of the room by dropping a heavy rock on the
table. Did Pete smell of ganja?
I can neither confirm nor deny the smell of cannabis at this point in the story.
Did Pete smell of ganja and spray paint their fire exit?
I cannot... Those are facts I don't have to hand at the
moment.
Okay. But, you know.
Just curious.
Pete dropped a heavy rock on the table. Someone then suggested asking questions and writing down Pete's answers, to which Pete responded by throwing a pen across the room onto the table. All were astonished at just how intelligent this poltergeist appeared to be. It's commonly held belief in psychical...
You throw a pen?
Yeah. Because that's what they do. Okay. You know. I mean, if you're on the other side, Mike...
I mean, I've seen a lot of Mastermind, mate.
Yeah.
And there's not the usual people who specialist subjects is throwing pens. Doesn't mark him out as like the brains of Britain.
I mean, that's only because Mastermind, being one of the greatest general knowledge quiz TV shows in Britain, has never asked anyone to do a round about pens. But I'm sure if they did do a pen special, you know, at least 100 people would come through on that. Think about it.
Look forward to it.
It's a commonly held belief in psychical research that despite the word poltergeist, poltergeists aren't actually ghosts at all, but rather out of control psychic energy expended by a focus or a living person that unwittingly supplies the energy. A belief that I personally have always subscribed to. However, every once in a while, sightings of apparitions are reported during a poltergeist outbreak, and this happened with the Cardiff poltergeist. One day, Pete showed up. Now, this is where you're claiming it's a young boy who smells of ganj. This is where your theory gets blown out of the water. Absolutely blown out of the water.
Pete's dad, is it?
Ripped his britches off and showed his bottom to the audience. When the activity progressed, the Matthews brothers contacted David Fontana, a university lecturer and psychical researcher. After experiencing much of the activity for himself, he concluded the shop was indeed home to an unusually intelligent poltergeist. What he didn't expect was that there was so much more than just out-of-control psychic energy. While Fred and John were working in the shop, Fred became intensely aware he was being watched. When he looked up, his blood ran cold. Perched on a shelf was the image of a young boy. Fred described him as small, with pale complexion, and wearing tattered clothing of a bygone era, a sure sign of a ghost. Fred alerted John to their spectral guest and told him to turn around very slowly so as not to frighten the ghostly child. Unfortunately, John never got to see Pete. The sad apparition vanished, but not without expressing his anger by whipping a brick at John's head. With the brick narrowly missing John's head too.
Where did he get a brick from?
He's a ghost. You can just get him from anywhere. I mean, you know, bricks die just like people. You know, just because you don't have a conversation with a brick, or a brick doesn't sort of come into your life and you befriend it and potentially have a relationship with it and marry it, it doesn't mean that a brick can not have a soul. When a building is destroyed, where do you think that rubble goes? Yeah, the rubble stays there. But what happens to the soul of the brick? Goes to heaven. Like anything else, Mike, it's got a soul and you have to be accepting of that. Where do you stand on that?
But where does that end? So if a brick's made of sand and cement or clay,
yeah.
So is every particle that has also got a soul?
Every particle. So the sand has a soul. As you said, the clay has a soul. The word Star Brick Company, which is one of the leading brick companies in the UK, just those words themselves,
That's a lot of souls.
A lot of souls, you know. With the brick narrowly missing John's head, the two brothers decided enough was enough. It was time to move. After enduring months of the Cardiff poltergeist tricks, John and Fred came to the conclusion if they moved their shop, perhaps Pete would leave them alone. Things didn't quite work out as they'd anticipated. Pete didn't follow them to the new shop. the pesky poltergeist followed Fred to his...
Carl did.
Carl.
I just imagine there's another poltergeist also.
Right.
Young lad.
No, come on now.
Okay, sorry, no. Yeah.
The poltergeist followed Fred to his home and continued his cruel pranks, causing Frank and his wife a whole new set of headaches. It wasn't until...
Right, where's the story going?
Well, it's going into the system so that we've got something to refer to in the future, so that when you do decide to go outside and accept the reality that there is another plane of existence where things like bricks and young children can cross over into the world of spirit and then come back and launch themselves at you, when you're ready to accept that, you'll be able to use this as a case study to say, I was wrong and I do accept that ghosts are real.
So what happens at the end of this thing?
Okay. It wasn't until Fred consulted a medium that Pete the Cardiff poltergeist finally gave up and went away. John and Fred Matthews were at least free of the ghost that not only threatened their business, but their sanity. What was Pete the Cardiff poltergeist? Was he the unconscious mind of one of the brothers working out some inner turmoil? Or was it really the ghost of a little boy causing all the problems? Perhaps a third option. Maybe the brothers needed the business and a ghost story was imagined to bring people in. I guess no one will ever know for sure. Theories and approaches, Mike, on Pete the Poltergeist. It's in your back streets. Well, you know where it is. You could witness it tomorrow, yet you still deny it.
I'm leaning heavily to it. I don't see why that would bring people in. I just only say I live in a haunted pub.
Yeah.
Or I've got a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
Then yeah, people will turn up then in the hope of seeing. We stayed in the most haunted hotel in the country, remember?
That was the one where there were some drunk builders outside and one of them was on a child's plastic child's, sort of
like a toy car.
Toy car, and he was in his underwear and he
stunk of weed.
Yeah, and he rode past us, didn't he? But, yeah. but that wasn't a ghost. That was a drunk builder.
Yeah. And we went to the most haunted pub in the country as well.
I had a cola.
The Hanbury Arms.
Yeah, I had a cola there, I think.
And we stayed there till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Down in the cellar and everywhere.
Yeah, but what you've got to remember with that, Mike, remember a torch came on, didn't it? Because it had been turned off and it came on. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember.
So again, strong evidence there in my favour as a believer. Okay, Mike.
Do you remember that we were told that how that works as well?
Yeah, the ghost. The ghost comes in. You ask it a question.
They told it.
And it turns the torch.
You basically back off the contact. It just turns off.
Yeah.
And then as it heats up, it will make contact and come on again. And then go off again.
It's the ghost just putting his hand in, isn't it? And he just links.
Yeah.
Just links that up. Okay, Mike. So you know this is something that happens on a daily basis, right next door to you, in your own backyard, in front of your face, outside your own front window. Yet you're still in denial. What other ways can I suggest to convert you? Here's one. Tonight, when you go to bed, I want you to take off all your clothes.
I do anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I want you to lie on top of the bed, and I want you just to will a ghost to come in and massage the front of your body. That's all I want you to do.
All right.
And then can you let me know what happened there?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think we'd have solid evidence within moments because I've done that and I was...
It'd be solid.
Yeah. Completely covered in ectoplasm the next morning and there was no explanation for that at all. How would you...
I do like a massage, especially my front being massaged.
But the entire front or...
Yeah, everything.
And you would happily let, you know, the spirits of the dead do that to you?
If it was nice.
Yeah. I mean, what if it was, you know, violent, the spirit was a bit drunk and wanted their own way and didn't have any thought for you and what you wanted out of that? What if, you know, were really...
Might have been a rough note again.
You know, they grab the, how should we describe it, the main tube.
Flus?
Yeah, the flus. They grab that and they get both hands and they twist in different directions. What I believe that they used to call a Chinese burn, but I don't know if that's a racist term or not anymore.
I think it's racist now.
Yeah, I think that is racist.
Just a twisty burn now.
Yeah, it's a twisty burn, yeah. I mean, would you allow a ghost, if you could prove the existence of ghosts, would you allow a ghost to come into your room and do a twisty hand burn on your cheese? Would you allow it?
No, because it wouldn't be pleasurable, would it? That's not fun.
Okay. What about this? Here we go.
Go on.
£15.7 million is in a briefcase downstairs. You're allowed to have this money if you will allow a ghost to come in and do a twisty hand burn on your cheese in front of a camera crew that's beaming it live to the leading TV channels, BBC, ITV, all the big channels at 7 o'clock.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave, all the big channels, yeah. Would you do
it? Yep.
Yeah. So you would let a ghost rip the skin off?
15 million, yeah.
15.7 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, once
I'd be honest, I do it for the 0.7 million, to be honest.
Really? I don't know if I'd have to be a minimum of 1.5 million for me to do that. Yeah. You know. What about a goat? What about this?
But I've only got a small mortgage.
What about quite nice. Would you let a ghost climb inside you through your bottom? Would you let a ghost haunt you? That's what I'm saying, by climbing inside you.
Anally haunt
you. Yeah. But once it's inside you, it's inside your whole body. Would you?
What's in it for me?
Nothing at all, really. It's just a good. You could part.
I'm not going to do it just to get bummed by a ghost.
Yeah.
Is there money involved?
£160 a night, so it's like a very expensive hotel for the ghost.
Well, every night forever.
But you could book in, so the ghost say, "I want a weekend away. How much for Friday through to Monday?" Well, £160.
No, I'm not going to get bloody. No, I'm not getting. I'm not going to Roger by a ghost for £300 a weekend.
It's not that he's doing it. The whole ghost is going in. So it's the head, the shoulders, the arms, the middle of the body, the legs. Everything goes in, and then it fills up the rest of your body from there. So he's not actually doing it to you as such. He's just inside of you. Where do you stand on that?
What's it feel like for me?
Just cold. There's no pain. Although, I mean, to tell the truth, it would need to expand the ring piece somewhat to get in there. But it would hurt for about 3 seconds, and then you just feel cold for the weekend. And he does leave cash afterwards in an envelope.
£320 for two nights.
£160 a night, so yeah, £320 quid. Is that right? No, two nights is £300.
Oh, I'm not doing it for that, mate.
What are you?
I'll just do a stand-up gig, 20 minutes, and I'll get the same money, wouldn't I? Without having to get.
All right, then. What
a ghost inside me?
What is your rate to let a ghost haunt you by entering through your bottom hole?
Like an Airbnb.
Yeah.
If I became a ghostly Airbnb, was they entered through my arsehole?
Yeah, strong language. I mean, you could have said bottom. What bottom hole then?
All right, my bottom hole.
Yeah, your bum.
I would want a minimum, absolute bare minimum of £5,000 a night.
All right, so you're slightly okay. All right, that's fair enough. So if
but I can give them three, they'll have three meals and a Star Wars film for that.
What film? But you know, you've got to eat the meal and watch the film so that they can enjoy.
Yeah,
it. Yeah. Which Star Wars would you do?
I just started watching Rogue One, so I'll probably watch the end of that.
Yeah, I think that's the best one, actually. But I think I can agree with you on that. And I think by agreeing with me that you would agree to have your anus haunted by a ghost at the rate of £5,000 a night, you've also clearly come to the conclusion that there is a poltergeist in Cortes, in Cardiff, round the back of your house that you firmly believe in. Therefore, this case is closed shut. Once again, I have confirmed that the world of spirit is real and it's out there. All I can say to people listening is be careful, be aware, don't be afraid, accept it and open up your bottom to any of the spirits that are nearby who are offering a fee of £5,000 or more. Mike, thank you for your work. You've been a wonderful man.
Thank you, John.
Is that it? Do we stop?
I think press stop.
I don't know how to do that. I mean, we could carry press on. We could carry on talking about, you know, all this.
Producer Reese will press stop in a minute.
The demon sees. You must be mistaken. It's now here. Come on down here and help us.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.